Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, and there is a real bad moon rising in this country. Welcome to the program. It seems that race is now center stage in America. For some, that's a good thing, because that's how they got where they are, and they sure want to go on a little further than they've already gotten. Like Oprah Winfrey, for example. Here's a woman richer than God herself who wants to move in like a vulture, in my opinion, and be an opportunist of the highest order and basically steal a team from the man who said some things that people find uncomfortable. Now, we're not going to talk about what he said, because everyone says it's bad things to say. We all agree. We don't have to go there. How do you feel about Oprah Winfrey and the other wonderful individuals from the cesspool of Hollywood, such as David Geffen? How do you feel about them moving in like vultures to buy the team at a fire sale price from Sterling? That's if he sells. I mean, I could wake up tomorrow and read that Barack Obama has ordered whatever his name is, the Attorney General Holder, to force Mr. Sterling to give the team away to the black players for past injustices. In the name of American justice and fairness, I think that he could say that Sterling has to give the team away to the black players. That's all. I mean, that would be the Soviet way, the United Soviet States of America under the Obama Holder regime. I think that that would be something that you'd accept, probably. I mean, sooner or later, all of the fears that we have come true, by the way. Just as sooner or later, all of the cliches in life seem to come true. Sooner or later, all of our fears come true to one extent or another. Here's another little story for you, in case that's not a good enough one. I can ask you again, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about Sterling being forced to sell his team at a fire sale price? And look who's moving in on it. Look who's moving in on it, Geffen. You know who Geffen is? Look up David Geffen and take a look at who he is. He's actually the kingmaker of America. As far as I know, David Geffen was one of the first big fundraisers for Barack Obama, then an unknown U.S. senator from Illinois. And it was David Geffen and the Hollywood gang surrounding Geffen, including louts like Larry David, that had these fundraisers for Obama when he was unknown. They made him president. Now, all of a sudden, we see a team for sale at a fire sale price, or we assume it'll be for sale, and look who wants to buy it. You know, we can go on and on about this. Here's another story, though, that may get you even more interested. Remember the Ground Zero Mosque story? Well, guess what? It's not over. The Muslim developer who once proposed a mosque and Muslim community center near Ground Zero now plans to build a museum devoted to Islam at the same site. He has commissioned French architect Jean Nouvel to design the Muslim museum. And the museum would also include a sanctuary for prayer services and community programs. Museum devoted to Islam now planned for mosque site near Ground Zero. How do you feel about a museum devoted to Islam being planned for a mosque site near Ground Zero? Ho-hum. I guess you have to check your portable device to see how you feel. Is that going to be the next wave of portable devices? They tell you how to feel? I went for a walk before the show in a mall. I mean, sometimes I'm in the city, sometimes I'm in the suburbs. Yesterday I had an appointment. I was off the air, as you know, and your life was incomplete. And I was in San Francisco. It was 92 degrees. I almost died. I felt like I was in the Bronx. I needed a fire escape and a mattress. It was so bad, you couldn't breathe. It reminded me of New York in the worst of August. It was horrible. It's not San Francisco. Oh, today it's a little cooler. We got the marine layer coming back in. See, it's a product of a high-pressure system sitting over the area. You don't understand this. It's very interesting. A high-pressure system sits over the area. It doesn't let anything in. And so, consequently, the hot air from the deserts of Arizona and the Southlands come up into the Bay Area, and you can die here. Then when the high-pressure system leaves, And I don't think Obama can control that yet, nor do I think Obama and Holder are producing the high-pressure system, although I haven't checked into that. When the high-pressure system abates and a low-pressure system enters, our marine layer gets sucked in off the coast, and thank God we're back in the best weather in the world. Here's another little story for you now that I've gulled you with the weather. From the Daily Mail, United Kingdom subways drop bacon and ham from menu to comply with halal. Not making it up. We've heard about Londonistan, right? There used to be a phrase, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, right? To the Muslims in England, it's not when in Rome, do as the Romans do, or when in London, do as the Londoners do. It's when in London, tell the Londoners to drop dead. Nearly 200 subway restaurants across the United Kingdom no longer serve bacon and ham, will instead serve only halal-prepared meat in an effort to, quote, balance the values of many religious communities, close quote. Now, the word balance is a critical one for you and for me because I was canned from England in 2009 by the despicable lowlife who ran England at the time, whose name I forgot. I don't know who he's working for now. Probably representing Saudi Arabia. I don't know what he's doing. But the then Prime Minister of England banned me, and we found through, we had a sue to get it. He banned me to balance the rejection by Britain of Muslim terrorists, so they banned me. A Subway spokeswoman said that the menu option is part of an effort to meet consumer demand in each location. And says the growing popularity of the Subway chain with a diverse multicultural population across the UK and Ireland means we have to balance the values of many religious communities with the overall aim of improving the health and welfare standards of animals. What does that mean? So they're getting rid of pork, and that's to balance their values in England. Halal preparations include requiring that the animal be slaughtered by someone who invokes the name of Allah before slitting the animal's throat. That's very humane. Sure, the animal feels better. Well, think about it. The animal feels better knowing that there's someone looking over his soul, the animal's soul. All blood must be drained from its veins, among other requirements, right out of the Jewish kosher rules. Same thing. It's no different. I mean, let's be clear. So the whole thing came from halal, kosher, identical. And remember, the Jewish religion came first, so they copied it from the Jewish people. I mean, you can work, you get yourself all worked up over this. There's nothing new under the sun. Shall I ask you how you feel about that? You can call 855-407-2822. Here's another one, thrown down the pipe. Why are race relations worse under Obama and Holder? I didn't say are. I didn't say are they. I asked you, why are race relations worse under Obama and Holder? How do you feel about Oprah Winfrey as an opportunist using race for personal gain? Now, I could talk about Benghazi, but I'd rather talk about Bengay. I would rather talk about whether or not Bengay works on arthritic joints than talk about Benghazi, to be honest with you. 855-407-2822 is the phone number. It's around 14 minutes after the hour. Mark on WJR, you're the first up from Detroit. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, thanks for taking my call. The reason they got where they are today is because of the Jewish influence in Hollywood and the media and everything.
Whoa, the minute who got where they are? Sterling? Let's start again. The minute who's they got where they are?
The black entertainment people, where they're so emboldened now to do what they're doing. They're just as racist as anybody else is. Thank you for my call.
Okay, I don't know how to answer that one, but okay. Each man is entitled to his opinion. Was there something offensive about that? I don't know. Could I see that as a racist statement, an offensive statement? Sure. Take away my microphone for not committing a mea culpa in the middle of it. I don't know. What should I give my dog away because I didn't tell him he's a bad man for calling the show? Here, come to take my dog away. Take my shoes. Take my undershirt. I mean, what's next under this regime? I fully expect Obama to come back from his failed trip to Asia. Failed on every level. Every level. Everything he touched blew up in his face. But one thing you're sure of, he's going to talk about the Sterling issue. He's on solid ground. He's on solid ground. Sure on solid ground. That's a solid ground. They ought to name a sandwich after Obama in a deli in New York. No, I better stop with that. If they named a sandwich, you know how in delis in New York in the old days they would name a sandwich for celebrities? They don't do it anymore because they're boring sandwiches. Everyone eats like a vegetarian sandwich. There's nothing on it. But in the old days in a deli, they would name a sandwich for a celebrity. like the Jack Benny, you know, whatever it was. I mean, in the old comedian days, they were horrendous heart attack inducing sandwiches, by and large. If they were to name a sandwich, if they were to name a sandwich in a Jewish deli for Obama, what would be on the sandwich? No, I really want to skate on thin ice today. I really am looking forward to the show. I am like a hockey player. I once told someone in the radio business, I said, you know, you've heard a lot about me, but let me explain who I am. I'm the best hockey player in the radio business. And I come so close to the plexiglass that sometimes I wrap that puck so hard that it bounces against the plexiglass and the fans go, oh, and they think they're going to get hit by the puck. But let me tell you something. The puck never flies over the plexiglass. 855-407-2822. I'll be right back to take your, I was going to say pucks, to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. The Savage Nation, playing hockey with ideas. Can you play it louder? I don't know what it is. I can't hear it. Maybe I'm going deep. Hey, I have an idea how to straighten out the entire race problem in America today with all of these scandals, with Bundy with the ranch thing, and then Sterling with the team thing. What if we did a trade? Well, here's a trade, okay? Here it is. Okay, Sterling gives up the team. And to Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson gets to run the team for profit. And Jesse Jackson has to give up Rainbow Push and give it to Sterling. Two things will happen. The team would fall into disrepair and wouldn't make any money after 5 years from mismanagement, since that's an actual business that has to be run like a business, and you can't just force people to attend the games. You can't riot to make them attend the games. You can't complain to the government to make them attend the games. So the team would fall into disrepair, while Rainbow Push would probably become a billion-dollar business within 5 years. No, it's an observation, that's all. Is it a bad observation? Should I have my microphone taken away from me for that? Sure. Sure, it's the Soviet way. It's the Soviet way. 855-407-282. How do you feel about any of these topics? Do you feel anything anymore? Do you have to go to a device, a handheld device, to know how you feel? I was in the mall before the show walking because I'm bored. I walked the dog as they're opening the stores in the mall looking at the dummies. I mean, the people with the handheld devices don't look much different than the mannequins. That's an easy observation. Everyone walks around looking in the hand. How can they feel anything if they don't even know what they're doing? What are they looking at on the device? What's so important? Are they stockbrokers? I don't know what they're doing. Every minute they're looking at a device. I thank God I grew up in a generation where you look to people. I still talk to people. I talk to strangers once in a while. And if I tell a joke to a stranger who doesn't know me, I don't know them, I feel better. I get a little charge out of it. The human condition, the human interaction. I'll give you an example. A quickie. Then we'll go back to the horrors of the day. I was passing one of the stores, and a Mexican guy with tattoos, big fellow with his girlfriend, was going in the store, and he looked at Teddy, and he said, hey, he looks like he stepped on an electric wire. So I said, yep, he sure got electrified. We laughed, big deal. Well, I'm going to take it the wrong way. He was trying to be, you know, he's trying to make a funny joke. But it's a human connection. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's called, I don't know the word for that, schmoozing with someone? No, that's talking at a length. Just in New York, I grew up doing that with everybody. You talk to everybody. The deli guy, the garbage man, the bus driver, if you gave him a quarter into the thing, you talk to him. Today, the bus driver, most looks straightforward. He's got ear things on. There could be a rape going on in the back of the bus. He don't know from it. He keeps going on the ride. The girl could be screaming in the back. Hell, he don't hear it. He's got the earplugs on. He's a union worker. Okay, we got a caller on if Obama were a sandwich, what kind of sandwich would be named? In the Savage Deli, imagine there's a Savage Deli somewhere in the imaginary stratosphere, in the blogosphere, there's a deli, and sandwich is a name for people. What kind of sandwich would it, first of all, it would be called the Obama. What would be on it? Dan on WJR, what would be on the sandwich?
Dr. Savage, what would be on a savage would, I'm sorry, on the sandwich would be a pound of tongue smothered in hummus.
Wait, I'm laughing because why hummus, though? Because hummus is just ground up chickpeas.
Well, I think you could draw your own conclusions. Everyone has their own interpretation.
Yeah. I like the word hummus. I thought you meant it was tongue smeared with hubris. I think tongue covered in hubris would be... Dan, you have a good sense of humor. How do you keep it going in Detroit?
Well, just like you, Dr. Savage, I'm a mensch among men. You know what I'm saying?
You got to try to be a man amongst men or you die. You die. You can't let people get you down. Because sooner or later they will. First of all, sooner or later everyone will disappoint you. Sooner or later you'll disappoint yourself. Sooner or later even your dog is going to get sick and die on you. Sooner or later you're not going to be the man you once were. Sooner or later everything goes bad, so you may as well enjoy it while you can. And everything, you know, why are people so depressed in America? It was a question I was going to ask today. I had time off yesterday. I walked around San Francisco. There's so much depression. I read the number of people on drugs. And I asked myself, why are so many people depressed in America today? And I don't even mean political people. Everyone seems to be agitated and gnawing inside. What's wrong? What's wrong? What happened? And one of the answers is that everyone fears the economy is built on sand, that it's going to blow up in our face. They all know that Obama's a faker. They all know he's a phony. They know he's printing money. They know Obamacare was designed in a way that it could never be supported. Impossible. It was just a scam to rob money. Just simply a scam to rob people's money, benefit friends and donors. And more importantly, oh my, there's so many elements to the Obamacare scam that are terrifying. If you only knew what these people have done to this country. Is that why the average person is depressed, do you think? Or is it fluoride?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
How do you feel about... I ask you the question. How do you feel about a museum devoted to Islam being planned for a mosque site near Ground Zero? It's a simple question. I mean, what, you're not supposed to have a feeling on it? You have to ask the government how you're supposed to feel? You think it's appropriate to put a mosque at Ground Zero? Don't you think it's a victory mosque? Don't you think it's a way of saying something that you know underneath the surface is being said behind closed doors by certain individuals? Not allowed to say it, not allowed to think it? Oh, I come from another generation. I guess I haven't learned to check my thinking at the door. So if you've checked your thinking at the door, I'm sorry, but don't blame me for what you're thinking or not thinking. And I can make it on a lighter note if you want. Museum of Islam planned their World Trade Center site is a hot story. It's a terrible story, by the way. But how do you feel about Oprah Winfrey and others using race for personal gain? That's another story. And let's go into the funny part of it. If Oprah Winfrey were a sandwich, what would it be? If they were to name a deli sandwich for Oprah Winfrey, what would be on it? If Obama were a sandwich, what would be on it? And what would it be called? Well, okay, the Obama sandwich, the Obama. It's not like, they don't call it by the name of what's on it. It's like, the Obama. And then you look at it, and on the deli board, it tells you what's in it. It's like, the holder, what would be in it? The Jackson. You know what I'm saying? The Al Sharpton sandwich. What would be on an Al Sharpton sandwich? I have some ideas. Okay, let's be fair. If Donald Sterling were a sandwich, what would it be? What would the Sterling sandwich be today? We'll let people on the other side of the aisle have fun with that one. How about the Bush? The Bush for George Bush. The Bush. I'll have the Bush. Come with the deli man. What would you like today, sir? I'll have the Bush. What? What'd you say to me? I said, I'll have the Bush. It says the sandwich is up there. I have a choice. It says the Jack Benny, Al Sharpton, the Barack Obama, and then it says the Bush. I want the Bush. What's on it? I'm just asking you. I mean, a boy just has to have fun once in a while, doesn't he? You don't want me to die on the air, do you, from overstressed out here? I can't. I mean, there's only so much anyone can take of this, but until you eventually you implode from it. It's like Chernobyl. A human being becomes like Chernobyl. You just melt down from overload. I'm telling you the truth. And computers, the computer overload. Again, I lost the internet during the break. I have to get on the floor and pull a plug out. I don't know what's with my computer. I have to threaten it with maximum destruction every time it fails on me. I have to pull its plug to get it to work right. Okay, let's go to the Obama sandwich. WMAL, Washington, D.C. Dave, go on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, the Obama sandwich on the menu, it's got your choice of meat. It's got your choice of cheese, every condiment that you possibly want, and your type of bread. And then when you actually receive it, it's two empty slices of bread, and it's not even the bread you asked for.
You know, I love it. I'll tell you why. A, it's true. It's a great picture of what he is in a sandwich. But two, there was no racial connotation in what you said. I mean, let's face it. When you do a show like this and you create it like this, you know you can get people with terribly dangerous comments. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely.
And you were able to tell. You see, this is humor. Your sarcasm is the highest form of humor because you don't have to go to the gutter to make people laugh, do you? Not everybody has to do what Howard Stern does or Louis C.K. or the other dirtbags, the gutter rats. I mean, anyone could say the dirty words over and over and over again to get people who are brain dead to chuckle. What you said took brains. That's all. Next case. We're getting callers on it. Oh, my God. I don't know if I want to do it. I'd rather talk about the Peloponnesian Wars, I think, than this. How about a little history lesson to really bore you to death? I know people like when I used to do history. I used to give you views of history. I can give you a little history lesson. What would you like me to, you know, come on. I can use the big brain for the big things. You want me to stick to this? I could do the baby talk. Baby talk is fun because sometimes you say things with the sandwiches that you can't say talking about the Empire of Alexander the Great. Well, where shall I begin? The last Babylonian Empire and the Empire of Darius the First. How about the early history of the Jews? How about the Greeks? How about the splendor of Greece? How about the Empire of Alexander the Great? How about the museum and library at Alexandria, Egypt, that was burnt to the ground when the Muslims invaded? You don't know about that. See, Alexandria, I think that's what I'll do. I'll give you a little piece of history about the burning of the library and of the books by the Muslims when they conquered Egypt, because that's a little lost period of history. Say, well, what are you giving us that for? That's incendiary. Well, should I now wipe history out? In England, they may have wiped it out. Maybe they'll wipe out the fact that Muslims, when they invaded Egypt, burnt the libraries to the ground because they believed in the single sufficiency of the single book called the Quran. Am I allowed to tell you that story, or is that history now banned by the folks who banned pork and ham and Subways in England? Because it's coming here. If it went there, it could come here. Yep. If they did it there, they can do it here. And it ties into why people are offended by certain Muslims planning to build a museum devoted to Islam for a mosque site near Ground Zero. Why would they have to build it near Ground Zero unless they're trying to celebrate with a victory mosque? Why not build it in Queens? Why not build it on Union Turnpike in Queens somewhere near St. John's University? Or put the museum to Islam at NYU? NYU is a good place for the museum to Islam. Why do they have to plan to build a mosque? It's a mosque inside a museum for a mosque site near Ground Zero, the original mosque site. I mean, there were opponents to this. It's not that it's a sacred site, 9/11, but it certainly has deep meaning for the American people. You know, it would be the equivalent of, I tell you what, let me put it in context for those of you who don't understand anything. If you go to Honolulu, there's a monument to sunken battleships from when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. The Missouri is still underwater, and there's a museum that is dedicated to the memory of all of the American servicemen who died when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor and sank our ships in a sneak attack. That's where the museum is. Now, what if the Japanese, in an insensitive manner, let's say while the people were still seething with pain from it, that happened December 1941, let's say they wanted to build a memorial to some Japanese in 1940, 1941, 10 years later. 10 years later, they wanted to build. So in 1951, at Pearl Harbor, the Japanese wanted to build a shrine to fallen, some Japanese shrine. How would that feel? People would say, what, are you crazy? Why do you want to build it here? You're trying to insult us. You don't have to do that. But the Japanese are intelligent, sensitive people, so they wouldn't even suggest it. Well, what is this going on here? Why do we even tolerate this kind of behavior? What kind of country have we become? Why do we put up with everything everybody does to us? Why? Now, you know, whoa, who's us? Who are you to speak for us? I'm us. You're us. The walrus is us. That's a Beatles song, I Am the Walrus. Neil, play I Am the Walrus. Ukuk Kachu. I'm us. You're us. WABC Mike, what would the Al Sharpton sandwich be? What would it be on the Al Sharpton sandwich?
The Al Sharpton sandwich, in my opinion, would be a couple of rotten green molded pieces of bread and a lot of cheese.
Exactly. At a very high price. Right. It would be over $15 a sandwich, though, wouldn't it?
You got it.
And if you didn't pay the $15, what if you got the sandwich and you said the cheese was rotten? What would happen? They would arrest you for saying the cheese was rotten on the Sharpton?
Well, either that or they would dig up my family history and find somebody that did something slightly out of color.
There you go. They'd find out a dead person said something in 1901.
Listen.
They recorded a Bell telephone conversation in a phone booth. See, here's the thing. It's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. I think, to be fair to this whole Sterling incident, hidden microphones should be put in all the lockers at all NBA games, locker rooms. For a month. Hidden mics. Hidden microphones in lockers in every NBA locker. Hidden mics. Hidden mics in every NBA locker. That's what I want to see. I want 500 hours of tapes of the hidden microphones in NBA lockers. I want to hear what the players actually say when they think no one's listening. Let's say about the owner, about people not like them. Let's put it to you that way. Am I scratching a raw nerve? Good. Good. Maybe you could start to see things as they really are. Let's look at the other side of the picture. That's so. Let's look at the other side of the picture. 855-400-72. Is that my number? I don't even remember it. 855-472-82. Yeah, that's the phone number. It's hard to remember the number when you don't remember the number. Okay, Benghazi, is it a topic? No. I heard the hearings today. I was very excited by them for a while, then I dropped it. I got sound from it. You know what that's about. They're trying to blame Hillary because she did it. Everyone knows she did it. Let's level on Benghazi. Unless you're in Hollywood, unless you're in the Hollywood mob, unless you're a head of the crime family of the Hollywood mob or one of the lieutenants or captains in the Hollywood crime family, and that would be all the people who run the movie business, and the agencies down there, that's the Hollywood crime family, bigger than the five families put together in terms of power influence over the world. Unless you are a member of the Hollywood crime family, and I use that only as a symbol, since they're in the movie business, they won't be offended. I use it only as a symbol, because they're into symbolism. They understand that it's freedom of speech. Unless you're a member of the Hollywood crime family, here's what Benghazi is about. Everyone in America with over an 80 IQ knows what happens. They were under siege. They called for help. Several generals were ready to send help. Somebody in the Obama administration, we don't know who, we can only guess, said no. They gave a thumbs down and people died. That's the simple version. How do I know that's true? Through deductive logic. What do I mean by that? Three generals who were in charge of the command of those battle groups at the time were fired by Obama shortly after Benghazi, one of whom was an African-American general with 32 years of distinguished service. He was in charge of a huge command. He was forced to resign. Why? Because every one of them was a potential witness against Hillary or Obama or Susan Rice or one of the other hidden horsewomen of the apocalypse. And what they did is they called him in down the line through the button men in the military, and they told him to say, here's how it's going to go. Here's how it works. Either you resign and take a full pension and dummy up and never say a thing about this, or whatever. And it's going to be like it's happened before. Why, they can't do it to a general? What happened? Look at the history of World War II, what they did to generals who were political liabilities. How do you think Patton died? Have you ever looked into how General, everyone heard of General Patton, died shortly after the war and a truck hit him in a staff car? Gee, I wonder, was that an accident? Or was Patton too popular and might he have run for president against MacArthur, who also had had his eye on the White House? Is that a possibility? It's a good movie script. Pardon me, I write novels. I write novels as I do a talk show. I mean, it'd be a good plot. It's a good movie. Be a very good movie, wouldn't it? The Patton MacArthur thing, and he set him up. Who knows? It's a nice story. I like to watch it. I'm not going to write it. Steal it. Steal this idea like everything else. What do I care? Take it away, Sunday. Go ahead, walk away, cocktail. You're on the wharf with Michael Savage. I wish this heat would go away in the Bay Area. Air conditioning is horrendous. I hate it. I hate it. I can't stand it. So I don't go to Florida anymore. I hear it's so hot there you can die, except in the north it's raining like crazy. I left just before the humidity hit 10 days ago. I feel like I'm in a pizza oven in Florida. Like I walk out of the house, like, oh, God, where's Mario? I want one with vegetables on it, but let me leave the pizzeria. It's too hot in here. I'm running short on time already. All right, we got callers, believe me, on all these topics, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I just want to hear him say we are the walrus, that's all. It's too much to listen to. Turn it off. I never liked the Beatles, even when I was a kid. How do you feel about a museum devoted to Islam being planned for a mosque site near Ground Zero is one of the questions. And in San Francisco, Jimmy on KSFO has the ears of America. Jimmy, go ahead, please.
Yeah, it seems like there's a failure to see a distinction between Shia Persian Muslims and Wahhabist radical Sunnis, who are the ones who supposedly admitted September 11th. And it's kind of like saying, oh, well, you know, Nazis sent a B-2 rocket into this building in Britain, so the Catholic Church can't be built there. That makes no sense.
Oh, so you're saying you have no problem with building a mosque at Ground Zero, is what you're saying?
Well, it's not even at Ground Zero. It's like 8 blocks down the street. And
it's near the mosque site. So let me ask you a question to go with your opinion, which on the face of it sounds very fair and very, very advanced. And I realize you're trying to make me into the knuckle-grabbing Neanderthal. But the Muslims who are behind this mosque or museum said it would promote harmony between Muslims and followers of other faiths. I'll ask you a question, Jimmy. Will such a mosque so close to Ground Zero promote harmony or hatred?
It was a radical Wahhabist.
No, you're not answering the question. Let's not be intellectual about it. Let's be pragmatic and practical about it. Their asserted purpose in building this museum is to promote harmony. The only question I raise is not is it legal, not is it constitutional. Will such a mosque and museum promote harmony or hatred? I think that the fact that you duck the question answers the question, because you know and I know what it's going to promote. Okay, thanks for the laugh. I get it. I know how laughs work. That's okay. It doesn't mean you're a bad guy. It's just you lost the tennis match. That's all. It happens. The ball went right through you. You didn't even get the racket up. It was like whiz, bang. Sure, constitutionally, any religion can build anything anywhere. Sure. Sure. We have a wonderful country. We have a wonderful constitution. That's how vermin lawyers have used the Fourth Amendment to let drug dealers with 30 pounds of coke in their trunk get away with delivering it up in the Bronx. The cop sees the trunk hanging down, open the trunk, finds the dope, and a cockamamie lawyer from NYU says there was no proper search and seizure. No proper search and seizure.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hail to the chief. Hail to the chief of talk radio. I do that just to get everyone in the business angry, that's all. Welcome to the Savage Nation. You know, it's such a boastful industry. In fact, the individual who really created talk radio in America boasts too much, and I know that, so I shouldn't do it. It used to be good in the 90s to boast about yourself. It's so bad now to listen to it. If I listen to anyone boast about how good they are, how great they are, how smart they are, it's terrible. So I'm going to stop it. I'm not going to say any of those things anymore. No, and the great American, I never heard anything as stupid in my whole life. It's like Art Carney and Jackie Gleason with like beaver skin hats. Member of the club, you're a great American. No, you're a great American. Hey, great American. No, you're a great American. No, I'm a great American. So now here we have questionable Americans, in my opinion. The Muslim developer who once proposed a mosque and Muslim community center near Ground Zero is now back. Like Freddie, and he now plans a museum devoted to Islam at the same site. Sharif El-Gamal said in a statement he wants to build a three-story museum, quote, dedicated to exploring the faith of Islam and its arts and culture. And he's commissioned a French architect to design a museum. And the museum to Islam would also include a sanctuary for prayer, services, and community programs. Now, the question to you is this. The buildings would be at 45 Park Place and 51 Park Place, two blocks from the World Trade Center site, and they'd have to knock the buildings down to do it. Now, many of you will say, well, I'm a tolerant liberal. I see nothing wrong with a mosque. That's because you're a fool. You don't quite understand that there's no such thing as unlimited tolerance. You know, tolerance is one thing, and stupidity and naivety are another. That's my estimation of things. Because those who are planning the mosque originally said that such a mosque or museum now would promote harmony between Muslims and followers of other faiths. So if that's their goal, I have to ask you, will the mosque promote harmony or hatred? And the question itself has the answer built in. See, that's the mark of a good question. You can't even answer it because the answer's in the question. And so you want to take that on? Tell me what, it's going to promote harmony between the religions in the country to put a mosque so close to 911? Okay. Mr. Liberal New Yorker, who's in favor of every religion except his own. That's you, Mr. Liberal New Yorker, the brainwashed Mr. New Yorker. The good liberal New Yorker. The good liberal New Yorker. He understands every culture and every religion, but despises his own culture and his own religion. That's the mark of the liberal. Understands every culture and every religion, but he hates his own culture and religion and derides his own race. How's that possible? Well, I'll let you figure that out because I'm not Sigmund Freud. That's one topic. I mean, there are other topics. I can't repeat myself at every turn. That's all. It's only a talk show. I'm not Albert Einstein, nor am I Sigmund Freud, nor am I Frankenstein, although some say I'm Frankenstein's. Some say I'm Sigmund Freud. Some say I'm like Einstein. I would say I'm a combo with a little Henry Miller thrown in. 855-400-7282. Oh, I want that old Henry Miller tape. Neil, remember we played it years ago? You don't have it in the queue. We could do this another day. You want to really light an audience up. Henry Miller was one of my favorite authors. Very important in my life during my dark years. He wrote a book called He wrote Black Spring, not The Black Spring. Many of you know Tropic of Capricorn and Tropic of Cancer because it had sex in it. But Black Spring was a better book. It was a very, very amazing piece of work. I reread that book over and over again during my dark years. And about 5 years ago in talk radio, we discovered little-known tapes of Henry Miller in an interview he gave talking about putting one of his mentally incompetent cousins, a woman, into a mental hospital. The trip to the mental hospital out in Staten Island, I think, and what it did to him and his observations. It was so chilling. People email me to this day in their own mind because I don't receive emails. I'm the only talk show host in America who doesn't have, I don't have an apparatus with me. It's terrible. I feel I'm disconnected from the world. I don't walk around like with a device with my thumb on it. I actually walk in the streets and look at people. I mean, why would I want to walk in the streets of San Francisco and not see the bums shooting up in the street? Why would I want to miss all of the pit bulls outside the ferry terminal with the lowest levels of humanity? Why would I want to miss that? Why would I want to miss what a liberal city actually looks like by walking around with my eyes on a device? Why? Why would I want to miss all the pit bulls and all of the drug addiction and all of the garbage in the dirt? Why would I want to miss that? Why would I want to miss the corruption in San Francisco? Why would I want to miss asking where the 754 pieces of fine art are that are missing from the San Francisco Fine Arts Museums that were given out on loan to politicians and friends, and yet there's been no investigation? Why would I want to miss that? Why would I want to miss discussing where all the solar money went to all those in the Bay Area who are connected to Obama? Why would I want to miss asking about things like that by looking at a device in the street and eating Mandelbread? Why would I want to miss those things? And that's why I say Mr. and Mrs. America. That's why I don't walk around looking at a device in my hand. Now what? I shot that wad, so now what? There's no ammo left in the musket. So we'll go back to humor. If Donald Sterling were a sandwich, what would it be? If Hillary Clinton were a sandwich, you're in a deli now. There used to be a Stage Deli in New York. I never ate that food after the age of 11 because I almost died. I think I would have like died of a heart attack at 16 if I kept eating deli food. I didn't know any better. Who knew any better? I ate such horrible food. And then I became sort of like a modernist at age 18. I discovered the George Osawa macrobiotic diet, cured myself of migraine headaches with it, and became a nutritionist way back in the 70s. So I rarely eat that food. Once in a while, I'll revert, and I regret it immediately. The fingers blow up like I pump Viagra into them. You give me a corned beef sandwich, within an hour, each finger looks like somebody, I did like a drug injection of Levitra in each finger. The other fingers look like a Cialis was in each hand. Or you put, it's like pumping Cialis into my kneecaps if you eat a corned beef sandwich. Look like George Clooney. But anyway, I love the show George Clooney marriage now, in my mind. I know you can't. What all of a sudden George Clooney's married? Are they kidding? To me, it looked like a staged marriage. Oh, he met her over a home-cooked meal. I couldn't believe the garbage that they feed people. But if the Kardashians can make a living being as disgusting looking as they are, why couldn't George Clooney pass this off as a real marriage? In my mind now, I mean, I am questioning it. Looks like a fake job to me, a Hollywood marriage. What, he was a bachelor too long? So his agent said, look, hey, George, you've gone a little too long there with the bachelor. Let's tell you what, let's get, they worked for him, Tom Cruise. Let's get we'll get a marriage going. We'll tell a story over a period of days. We'll get you some good coverage. You proposed to over a home-cooked meal. Yeah, you're flying a little too high there with your villa, this and that in Italy. It won't be, not a five-star restaurant in Manhattan. It'll be a home-cooked meal. She's making tofu at home, and you got on your knee, George. You know what I'm saying? And you gave her a ring from a jewelry store. And the people eat it up. The morons running around with the phones in their hand, the devices. The 10-year-old mentality. I got a good caller. I asked what the Bush sandwich would be. Don't think that I'm just trying to rip Democrats here. I'm an equal opportunity ripper. Now imagine you're in a deli in New York in the old days where there were sandwiches for famous people, like the Mickey Mantle. And I don't know what it would have been on it. I'll give you a name of a ball player. Or pick someone from your era, after Mickey Mantle. I don't know. Whoever they had on sandwiches. All right, Jerry Seinfeld. You all know him. The Jerry Seinfeld is a sandwich. Whatever it may be, I don't know, corned beef with potato salad. You say, I'll have the Seinfeld. Or there's the French music? That's funny. That's going to just, yeah. No one knows any French people like a French sandwich. Like, is there any famous French person for anything other than Napoleon? Brigitte Bardot. Name the top five French people in the history of your mind. There's Napoleon. After Napoleon, there's, Brigitte Bardot. After Brigitte Bardot, there's, I have to go back. Toulouse-Lautrec. So it's Napoleon, Toulouse-Lautrec, Brigitte Bardot, then the actor with the cigarettes, Jean-Paul Belmondo. There has not been a famous Frenchman since Belmondo. No, I'm serious. But if there were a famous Frenchman, what would the sandwich be? Like, I'll have the Bardot. What would be on the Bardot? No one knows who she is. She was stunning in her day. But, you know, you look back on her, 1951, 52, 53. By today's standards, she wasn't that good-looking, actually. She wouldn't be considered hot today. In those days, that was hot, hot. That was so hot, it was, oh, my God. She's unbelievable. Today, it's like, nah, average suburban chick. But she spoke the French accent. The only thing I liked about her were her politics later on in life. There's an inverse quotient in beautiful women, especially actresses. The higher the liberal quotient, well, I'll put it, it starts the other side. I have to do it in a positive way. As a woman ages, as a man ages, time and gravity catches up with us, right? So in a man, he gets a pot belly. In a woman, unfortunately, the hindquarters tend to droop. All right, that's what happens. The derriere, we'll call it. It just happens. It's the way it is. No one likes to admit it. It's not misogynist to talk about. Men get ugly. The hair falls out, the stomach, whatever. And in a woman, it hits them there. That's all. And, you know, so when they're young, it's like, oh, gasp. But when they get older, the lower the derriere starts to, you know, droop. Time and gravity. So the lower the derriere, follow the mathematics of this. The lower the derriere, the higher the liberal quotient. So if you look at women liberals in America who were once stunningly beautiful in their youth, they had no politics at the time. They didn't need politics. As their bodies started to age and droop, right, with the LD, the lower the derriere, the higher the liberal quotient. Now, you can make a mathematical formula out of that. So, but you have to follow it, and you have to be able to follow the joke. It's actually the higher the LD. You get it? The higher the low derriere quotient. Get it? The lower the liberal quotient, meaning the mentality of the liberalism. You have to understand the geometry and trigonometry and horoscopes in order to understand what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to lighten it up. It's the world according to how I see it. It's one man's opinion. If you don't like it, what do you want me to do? Give you my dog? Why don't you go to Eric Holder and tell him that because I said something that offended you today. I have to give you my poodle. Maybe you want to take the team away from Sterling. Why is everyone in L.A. who's really powerful and rich named like Sterling or Sperling? How did that happen? I mean, Sperling had some mansion, like a 2 million square foot mansion. How does Sperling and Sterling, the names like start with S and end with an ing? Ing, Sterling and Sperling. But in other words, what's next? Eric Holder by decree takes the team away from him for comments he didn't like? Then we'll have a complete Soviet system. I'm sure the king will be back soon, and he'll chime in on this since he flopped in Europe, in Japan. Oh, by the way, he's on the way to Europe. Yeah, just back from Asia. Just back from a big tour to Asia where he failed at everything he tried to touch. I'm not happy it happened. I am not happy, I'm not unhappy, but it's a terrible thing to see a president who was this incompetent. I've never seen anything like it. And he's back already, planning his next trip. He's heading for Europe. Just 48 hours after he got off Air Force One and a week-long failure around Asia, President Obama's White House announced yet another international trip for the chief executive. I'll tell you about it when I come back right here on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. We're talking about race relations on The Savage Nation, and we're asking why are they worse under Obama and Holder. And we're asking how you feel about Oprah Winfrey moving in like a vulture, in my opinion, to try and steal a team now that its sponsorships have gone by the wayside and try to buy it on a fire sale. We're talking about a museum devoted to Islam being planned for the mosque site near Ground Zero. We're talking about Obama heading for Europe just back from his failure tour of Asia. Yep, he's on the way to Poland, where he told Poland they couldn't have a missile defense shield in 2009 in order to cater to Putin. He gave him no defense shield. Then he's going to go to Brussels for a two-day feast on muscles. I'm sorry, Brussels for muscles. He's going to Brussels for a two-day G8 summit. Actually, it's G7, they say, because Russia was thrown out. That's gee whiz, I think. But next, he's going to go to visit Normandy. Normandy to mark the 70th anniversary of D-Day. Oh, my God. Don't talk to me about Obama on D-Day. God. Let's take the first couple of callers on sandwiches. If Bush were a sandwich, George Bush, that is, what would it be? You go up to a deli and say, I want the Bush. Richard, what would be in the Bush?
Hello?
Richard, what would be in the Bush sandwich?
Well, it'd be anything you want on it, but it would have peppers of mass destruction.
Peppers of mass destruction. That's not bad. You know, you could open up a business. Well, maybe with the government's help, with a small business loan for disenfranchised white men who've lost businesses. You could get a government loan for white men who've tried businesses and failed. Maybe there'd be a special program. And you could open up a hot pepper company called Jalapenos of Mass Destruction. I've just given someone a $10 million idea. What do I care? I'm giving things away today. People get ideas. What, I'm going to copyright everything? Sooner or later, everything happens. Sooner or later, all the cliches come true. Sooner or later, your worst fears about everybody come true. Sooner or later, your worst nightmares about people turn out to have been true. Sooner or later, every fear you've ever had about your own life and your health and your body come true. That's it. Oh, you could stave it off. But sooner or later, I mean, what's the point of giving up the three large topping, a large three-topping pizza? What's the point? What's the point? Because it'll be sooner rather than later, that's all. You want to walk around looking like you pump Viagra into your knees and into your fingers? Have three pizzas a day. Go ahead. Go into McDonald's five times a day. It looked like you'd put Cialis under your thumbnail. I'm doing good today. I only had avocados and tomatoes for dinner last night. Horrible, horrible way to go to sleep, but...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
You know, I started the joke, if X were a sandwich, what would it be? What would be on it? You know, like, you know, celebrity sandwiches, because they still have them in, like, L.A. somewhere, in delis or whatever. And people say, oh, I'll have, you know, the Milton, no one knows who he is. Let's say the Donald Trump sandwich, whatever. I don't know who they have. I don't know. I don't go to delis, but... this kind of show you'll remember for 10 years. It's the funniest thing in the world. I once did a show in 1995 on a local station, KSFO, which was, if ex-politician were a car, what would it be? People call about it to this day. So now we're doing sandwiches. Now, I got one for you now. It's the best of all time. Here it comes. Jeanette in KBOI in Boise, Idaho. It just shows you that people can have a sense of humor outside of New York. They think there's only humor in Brentwood, in Hollywood. That area, right? Brentwood, Beverly Hills, and Manhattan. Everyone else is stupid. No one else has a sense of humor. Wait to hear what Jeanette has to say on KBOI in Boise. Jeanette, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, I just had two sandwiches, one for Hillary. What difference does it make, sandwich?
Wait, I go into a deli and I say, I'll have the Hillary, right? And the deli man says, what difference does it make?
That's right.
Hold on. I'm savoring the next one. I come in and I say, give me the Pelosi. What's on it?
You have to buy it first to know what's in it.
Oh, that's the best. Jeanette, you win the prize.
All right.
So wait, no, don't go away. If I go into a deli and I say, I want the Pelosi, the deli man says with a sneer, and I say, well, what's on it? He says, you have to pay for it first, and then you'll find out what's on it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's Pelosi.
I'm gonna tell
that's...
you what's in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I probably have a little bit of snake in it. Jeanette, let me ask you something. How do you maintain your sense of humor where you live? I mean, aren't you supposed to not be funny in Boise?
Actually, it's a really beautiful. Boise is a really beautiful town.
But how do you retain being funny?
Well. Actually, I'm only funny when inside. On the outside, I usually just kind of, you know, I was telling your guy that I talked to that I kind of suffer with depression, and I kind of want to hear what you said would have to say
well,
about.
So do I. I've been depressed since I was born. I was depressed for being born.
I know. That's how
I asked God, why'd you bear me into this earth, put me around all these people, and he said, well, there are dogs. He said, the consolation prizes that there are dogs you can trust.
I know. Eric tells me to get a dog. That'll help.
That's right. I'm telling you. Oh, my call screen is acting like a psychiatrist now. Hey, Jeanette, I'm sending you a special present for being the funniest person today, and that is, you know those chocolate-covered strawberries I advertise that I love?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes,
you're
getting berries.com for free. You're getting all of those chocolate-covered berries there. They're amazing. We're sending them out to you. That's right. I don't know if you're going to love them. It's going to change your view on life. You'll never be depressed again. what else do we have in sandwiches? Now, let's go back to a serious topic on the mosque. Should it be built next to the 9/11 area? Bob on WBAP in Dallas. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. The standard for, it doesn't seem that difficult to answer the question of whether or not the mosque should be built. And the standard I would apply is that it would not be appropriate for the United States to erect a war museum in Hiroshima or Nagasaki in respect and deference to the people of Japan.
Well, hold it. You're 100% right, but I think the direct comparison would be to erect a museum to Christianity next to Hiroshima.
Well, sure, but I mean, you know, we might want to get our point about World War II out. Why did we do it? Why did we feel like we had to do what we did? But the simple fact is that we are a nation that does not really want to do some of the acts we've been forced to do over time, and we wouldn't do something like that. So for somebody to build a mosque at ground zero with our horrendous losses, it to me boggles
right.
The mind.
The mosque is allegedly being built to promote harmony between Muslims and followers of other faiths, which is, in my opinion, a lie, because such a mosque will not promote harmony. It will promote the opposite, that is, disharmony. Or outright hatred, which is exactly what these developers seem to want, so they can play victim.
I fully agree, and it just seems like it's going to inflame sentiments rather than...
That's right, and anyone with any sense of reality knows that, but you're going to hear the liberals say, well, we're a multicultural society, we're built on freedom of religion, they have a right to build it anywhere. Well, a right to build a mosque anywhere is not the same as the... reason for building it at ground zero.
Exactly. I don't see...
Right. Just as you said, very, very wisely. Would we build, for example, a building next to, let's say, ground zero of Hiroshima, a museum devoted to Christianity and to American values, to explore the faith of Christianity and America and its arts and culture? No, I don't think the Japanese would let us do that, nor would the Americans ever even have suggested that, let's say 10 years after dropping an atomic bomb on Hiroshima, right?
No, I don't see that we would, in fact.
But the difference is the Japanese would never permit it to be built. The people would riot. They would go berserk. Many of them would give their lives to prevent it. In this country, with the massive use of drugs and the meltdown of the fact that we have no culture left, except a very small number of people who even know what America is. American people don't even know what their country is. They think there is no country. They think America... You know, you ask people what their ethnic background is. Some will tell you, I'm a this, I'm a that, and they know very proudly who they are. And then some will say, I'm a Heinz 57, and they say that with utter, happiness. They have no knowledge who they are, nor do they care. America is basically a Heinz 57 culture today for many people, but it really isn't. America actually does have a heritage. It does have a culture. It does have a history. It does have borders, language, and culture. It's not just a mishmash by accident, as too many people think. Bob, thank you for the call. Very good discussion. Very, very good. WBAP in Texas, that was a very good call. What would a holder sandwich be? No, that I don't think I can take Marianne because that's a... See, so far we've been doing good. So far, very good. Now we're gonna get down into the borderline calls. We can't do line 8. I'm sorry, we can't have anything that touches on the you know what area. If Hillary were a sandwich, what would it be? I'll have the Hillary. If Boehner were a sandwich, all right, give me the Boehner. I want the Boehner. What is it having in it? Like a cry? I mean, what are the cries? It's made of pink ties. What is in it? What is it, Neil? Fermented. That's very funny. The Sharpton sandwich is too easy. You know what that would be. Basically, yeah. Okay, we can't do that one. Gristle with coleslaw on top of it. I'll have some gristle, the Sharpton, at 1995. So he's off to the G7, Obama. He's just back from Asia. He's resting up now, probably with a golf game. And he'll be out on the links shortly if he's not there now. And he's on his way to Europe shortly. First week of June, Poland, then Brussels for Mussels, and the G7 summit. They call it G8, but as I say, there's no Russia anymore. And there's no Russia anymore? There is a Russia now. There's no Soviet Union anymore. Then Normandy to mark the 70th anniversary, and then they on to Martha's Vineyard with all the poor people. Him and the first lady, the girls, the mother-in-law, the dog goes on a separate helicopter. Why do they send a dog on a separate helicopter? That's worrisome. I've been reading rumors about that. Why don't they travel with the dog? It's a little worrisome. Why did they send the dog on a separate helicopter and not fly it on Air Force One or Two? Reminds me a little bit of the taxi drivers in an area of Michigan that won't take dogs in the car. I mean, it's as close as I can get to that. Why does the dog go in a separate vehicle? What is that about? I don't want to go any further on this. I don't want to hear about prayer rugs in Air Force One. I don't want to start reading that on the Internet next. Congress. So he'll not be asked to campaign for any Democrats for their midterms. What does he have to campaign for? He doesn't like the Democrats anymore. He likes the Republicans. He got what he wants. He got what he wants already out of the political system. What does he need the Democrats for? So he'll do political fundraising. That's all. That he's good at. If Donald Sterling were a sandwich, what would be on it? Come on, let's go from the other side. Isn't there anyone out of here who wants to put down Sterling as a sandwich? If Donald Sterling were a sandwich, and you go up to a deli counter and say, give me a Sterling, what would be on it? You could say tongue. You could say rotten tongue. That one, I'll have to make one up. It would be unrefrigerated tongue that's rancid with a lot of mustard and a lot of hot sauce on it, so you don't even know it's rancid tongue. Look, it takes a village to build a radio show. Let me tell you that. It takes a village of ideas. I've been there. Whenever you hear Hillary not say I, a highly literate woman like Hillary goes to the best of colleges. Whenever she starts saying ah instead of I, when you hear her say ah, you better run for the fire extinguishers.
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me.
Stunning. Just stunning. Shocking. Whew. I didn't even tell you about the library at Alexandria that was burnt down by the Muslims. Can't deny it. Maybe it's being expunged from British history, even though it's not about Britain. Alexandria once had the finest museum in the world. It was incredible. It was a great place of knowledge. And during the reigns of Ptolemy I and Ptolemy II, there was such a blaze of knowledge and discovery at Alexandria. The world has never seen anything like it. It had not seen anything like it and didn't see anything like it again until the 16th century. The Museum of Alexandria. That was created, by the way, by Alexander the Great. Did you know that? And for two or three generations, the scientific work done at Alexandria was phenomenal. Euclid. You ever hear of Euclid? And the gentleman who measured the size of the earth, an ancient Greek, came within 50 miles of its true diameter before computers. Apollonius, who wrote on conic sections, Hipparchus, who made the first star map and catalog, and Hero, who devised the first steam engine, are among the greater men of an extraordinary constellation of scientific pioneers in Alexandria at that time. Archimedes, you know about him? Well, you only know which basketball player has a tattoo on his soul. Archimedes came from Syracuse to Alexandria to study. And he also used the museum as a lodestone. And then what happened? What happened was that when the Muslims conquered Egypt, they burnt the museum to the ground. The entire book copying industry was destroyed. It was burnt to the ground. All of the book printing was gone. And why am I telling you this? I'm telling you, watch out. Because there is an entire sect of Islam that has not evolved past this ninth century vision where the entire world is evil and no good, and only Muslims shall thrive, and only Islam shall be the religion, and there shall be no other religion before thee. You say there's only a few? Well, maybe you're right. There's an awful lot of that few who seem to do an awful lot of damage. I mean, if there's only a few, which I hope you're right, it seems to me they do an awful lot of damage for so few. We have all this military hardware, all this spying, and somehow the Sarnoff brothers snuck through the all the spying. Somehow the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the DEA, the LS, the MFT. Oh, yeah. Somehow they didn't know about the Sarnoff brothers. They were corresponding about what they were going to do. They're going back and forth to, like, Terrorland. Back and forth to Terrorland. Openly. And somehow all of our spy agencies missed them. How's that possible? Because they weren't allowed to say anything about Muslims. They were only looking for returning white males from Iraq or Afghanistan or Irish nuns who might be terrorists in a wheelchair. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, it's easy to roll over and say all religions are equal and there's no historical this and don't worry about the museum devoted to Islam being planned for a mosque site near Ground Zero. It will promote disharmony. It'll provoke hatred. It'll provoke things that we don't need any more than you'd want to build a memorial to the American Enola Gay a memorial to, let us say, Christianity next to Hiroshima Ground Zero. Why would you build it there other than to provoke Japanese? So I'm telling you, learn your history or repeat it, idiot. Certainly not all Muslims are the same. There are advanced people in all religions and races. And then there are the despots and the throwbacks. Alexandria had one of the world's greatest collection of books in the world in Egypt. Hundreds of years, one of the greatest libraries in the world. And in 642, Alexandria surrendered to Amru, the Islamic general leading the armies of Omar, Caliph of Baghdad. And what did he do? On the orders of this Omar, the Caliph of Baghdad, the entire collection of books stored at the Library of Alexandria were removed and used as fuel to heat water for the city's public baths. End of story. End of story. You say, well, what does it have to do with today? What it has to do with today is that just in those days, there were Muslims who were peace-loving and minded their own business. And then there were those who were warlike and maniacal and intended to crush everyone around them and make one world's, the only religion permitted in the world, Islam, and Allah the only God. And they did anything and everything they could to achieve their aims. And we have the same with Al-Qaeda now. We have the same with the other terrorist groups here and there around the world and with the sleepers in this country. The sleepers in this country. The sleepers in this country. They didn't go away. They've metastasized under Obama. In other words, if there were sleepers under Bush in America, which we know there were, they've metastasized under Obama because the intelligence agencies have been taught to look the other way. One man's opinion. Should I lose my microphone for teaching you a little history about Alexandria? Shame on you if you think that. Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, now, of course, as you well know, everything reverts down to the lowest common denominator, which is good, which is if X were a sandwich, what would it be? I thought of delis in New York that used to have sandwiches dedicated to celebrities. You know, pick your celebrity. Everyone knows Seinfeld. A Seinfeld sandwich. I don't know what it would be, whatever. And so I've asked you, if Hillary were a sandwich, what would it be? Give me the Hillary. If George Bush were a sandwich, give me the Bush. If Donald Sterling were a sandwich, what would be on it? What would the Sharpton consist of? What would the Obama sandwich be? And one, a lady from Boise had the winner last hour. I said, what would the Pelosi be? She said, you go to the deli man and say, give me the Pelosi. And you say to him, what's on it? And he says, you have to pay first. That was the best. She won a free Sherry's Berries. Bingo. Berries.com, the chocolate-covered berries. She got him. Now, I would say if there was a Sterling sandwich, a Donald Sterling sandwich, I mean, you want to be you know, simplistic, it would be a white fish on a white bread. Hold the condiments. That's all. I mean, okay, that fits the, you know, that's all you want to talk about is race. So you want him, what's good for the goose is good for the gander moment? Let's have one. Put a hidden microphone in every locker in the NBA for a year and give me 500 hours of tape. Then what, are you going to take the basketballs away from them? Take the court away from them? What are you going to do, take away their shoes? They can't go to an NBA game because they hate this one, they hate that one. What do you want to do, legislate the human condition? But what sickens me here is that the government now, first of all, you got these greedy pigs moving in like the disgusting vultures they are, wanting to buy the team now that they destroyed the sponsorships. That's A. Then B, you got the government moving in like Obama chiming in again on it when he should stay out of it. It has nothing to do with him. And, I mean, what are you going to wake up tomorrow here that Obama has decided that he's taking the team away from him and giving it out to the community, the Los Angeles community of color, will get the team's income? That's called danger zone. Just as building a mosque at Ground Zero is a danger zone, whether you call it a museum with a mosque in it, doesn't matter. You're provoking people for a good... There's only one reason you'd build a mosque at Ground Zero. That's to provoke people. No other reason. If you care to chime in on any of these topics, 855-472-8282. Before you do, I want to go to michaelsavage.com and just see what stories we have up there right now, because I haven't been there in a couple of hours. Top right. Beware, ancient Muslims burned the world's greatest library. That's the story of Alexandria Library. The Afghan torturer-in-chief gets an asylum pass from Obama, and he's living in L.A. in a pink two-story ranch house. The chief torturer from Afghanistan is living in L.A. In China, Muslims killed 3 and injured 79 at a railway station. It's the second one within a month or two. The separatists in China, 3 killed, 79 injured, in China terror attack. It's a very big story. China now has its problem. Xinjiang station attack. President Xi urges action against terrorist attacks in Xinjiang. 3 killed, 79 injured, when attackers with knives and explosives, again at a railway station in China. And even the Chinese government is now PC. They said that the... come under the influence of extremist religious thought. They call the attackers, quote, those who have come under the influence of, quote, extremist religious thought and participate in extremist religious activities, close quote. So even they have now, what are they being advised by Obama on how to deal with the Muslim extremists? I guess they have the same people from Harvard over there telling them what language to use. Beijing has blamed such violence on separatists from the mainly Muslim Uyghur minority. I don't know if I'm pronouncing Uyghur properly. I'm sorry. I mean to. As a trained anthropologist, I don't mean to insult the Uyghurs. But I know how to say it. U-I-G-H-U-R. It's hard for us Westerners. Uyghur. Uyghur? 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 You get the picture. So the Chinese now have their problem with terrorism. Xinjiang separatism, they're calling it. Attackers used knives to stab people at the station exit and then detonated explosives at the same time. See it? In China now. That's all. Now it's a China. So the Chinese, you think, oh, they have such a tight grip on everything. They don't. They don't. You got ethnic tensions in China, ethnic riots in China. Now you have Muslim riots in China because there's a Muslim minority of 9 million in China. 9 million. 9 million. Now, in a country of a billion Chinese, that's still a lot of people. So now what are they going to do about it? Tell me what they're going to do about it. I don't know. I have no idea what they're going to do about it. It just seems to me that this ethnic extremism that is popping up all over the world is very worrisome. And you can't usher it away simply by wishing it goes away. And now comes along the guy who wants to build a mosque. Now he's calling it a museum, rather, near Ground Zero all over again. Sharif El-Gamal, and he wants to build a three-story museum dedicated to exploring the faith of Islam and its arts and culture, and inside it would be a mosque. He's calling that a sanctuary for prayer services, which is a mosque. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about Oprah Winfrey using race for personal gain? Why are race relations worse under Obama? These are important questions. If you want to answer them, go ahead, make my day. I know it's too hot out there on the West Coast to even think. It's like not even a day you want to think. It's just like a day to go into a dark bar and have a drink. Can't even ride a bicycle. It's so hot. It was terrible yesterday. I was in San Francisco. I had an appointment. It was disgusting. I felt like, you know, not a tree grows in Brooklyn. It was like, where's the fire escape and mattress? I love people who live in San Francisco when I first moved here. All the rubes out here. Oh, well, we don't need air conditioning out here. We have the fog. All the Marinites. No, we don't need air conditioning out here. No, we don't need air conditioning out here. Oh, no? There's an awful big air conditioning business out here. Anyone who knows, well, we don't need air conditioning. We have the fog. You're from New York. We don't need air conditioning in the Bay Area. Oh, you don't? I need it. Every location I have, I would die without it. Must have air conditioning. Can't live without it. Must have. But mine, don't worry about it. Mine is eco-friendly. It's eco-friendly air conditioning. It's powered by banana skins. I get my banana skins at Whole Foods. I have an assistant who does dumpster diving for me for banana skins and leftover papaya skins. And he brings them to me in crates, and we shovel them into a giant furnace that burns them in an eco-friendly manner, truthfully. So all my air conditioning is green. It's green air conditioning. Okay. Barbara has it. See, the women are better on the sarcasm than the men. Here's a Hillary sandwich coming up. Barbara, what would the Hillary be as a sandwich? What would the Hillary be as a sandwich, Barbara?
Your choice of bread, but it would be packed with Swiss cheese because, of course, it's full of holes like her testimony on Benghazi.
That's very funny. I tell you the truth, that's almost as good as what a Pelosi would be, which is you have to pay in advance to find out what's in it.
I heard that. That was great. But now this one comes with a mandatory side of stewed prunes. You can't say no.
Why do you say stewed prunes? Because she looks like one?
No, I think that it's because she needs that. I think if she ate that.
Do you think that Hillary's popularity amongst women is as great as the media would have you believe?
Yes, because my sister loves her.
Oh, my God, we're in trouble. She likes when she talks in that fake southern twang?
She doesn't. She thinks she's the greatest woman on earth.
Why? What has she done to make her great?
I have no idea. That's why we stopped talking.
Oh, and it's your sister-in-law?
No, my sister. My only sister.
Oh, that's terrible to lose a sister over Hillary Clinton.
It is, but there's nothing I can do about it. We can't have a conversation. Sit back and relax. You're going to love Obamacare so much. She's in Massachusetts. She said, you're going to love it so much. Just sit back and relax.
No, you'll love paying the bill for the deadbeats in the country who couldn't get health insurance. Oh, you're going to love paying for the illegal aliens' health care. Si, senor. Oh, you're going to love for paying everyone's health care in the third world who could sneak into the country. Barbara, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. WABC Jim, welcome on the mosque at Ground Zero. What's on your mind, Jim?
I think that it was an incredible mistake. Bloomberg caved in when he allowed that Muslim facility to be built two blocks from Ground Zero.
Bloomberg is Bloomberg. Bloomberg has real guts when it comes to 16 or 32-ounce sodas. But he has no guts when it comes to a thing like this. He's an appeaser.
He's an appeaser, and he's an appeasing a culture, the Islamic culture, which is probably the most discriminatory culture among all the religions. And just two examples. One is there was an order of Catholic nuns, the Carmelite nuns, who were going to build a facility, presumably a convent, on or near the grounds of Auschwitz. And suddenly cooler heads prevailed, and the nuns decided this is inappropriate, and it was more important to move the facility someplace else because most of the victims at Auschwitz were Jewish, and it was inappropriate. And the other example I would give is that...
That's right. In other words, if the Muslim behind this was sensitive to what he's doing, he wouldn't do it, but he's doing it for a reason. It is a victory mosque. And as a caller in the last hour said, would the Americans think of building a memorial to American culture in Hiroshima? It would be unheard of.
Well, that's exactly the point.
Well, why should we put up with this? Why shouldn't those of us with a vision of history and peace say, no, this is going to be disharmonious, it's going to cause hatred, it's going to bring an outbreak of hatred in the country, and we can't afford it? Why? Why shouldn't we say that? Because Obama would chime in and say that we're a multicultural, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's the savage nation. 855-407-282. These are some of the topics. MichaelSavage.com is where all of the topics are, let us say, posted at the end of the day. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. I asked you this question. How do you feel about a museum devoted to Islam being planned for a mosque site near Ground Zero? It's a simple question. I mean, what, you're not supposed to have a feeling on it? You have to ask the government how you're supposed to feel? You think it's appropriate to put a mosque at Ground Zero? Don't you think it's a victory mosque? Don't you think it's a way of saying something that you know underneath the surface is being said behind closed doors by certain individuals? Not allowed to say it, not allowed to think it? Oh, I come from another generation. I guess I haven't learned to check my thinking at the door. So if you've checked your thinking at the door, I'm sorry, but don't blame me for what you're thinking or not thinking. I can make it on a lighter note if you want. Museum of Islam planned their World Trade Center site is a hot story. It's a terrible story, by the way. But how do you feel about Oprah Winfrey and others using race for personal gain? That's another story. Oh, my God. I don't know if I want to do it. I'd rather talk about the Peloponnesian Wars, I think, than this. How about a little history lesson to really bore you to death? I know people like when I used to do history. I used to give you views of history. I can give you a little history lesson. What would you like me to, you know, come on. I can use the big brain for the big things. You want me to stick to this? I could do the baby talk. Baby talk is fun because sometimes you say things with the sandwiches that you can't say talking about the empire of Alexander the Great. Well, where shall I begin? The last Babylonian Empire and the Empire of Darius the First. How about the early history of the Jews? How about the Greeks? How about the splendor of Greece? How about the Empire of Alexander the Great? How about the museum and library at Alexandria, Egypt that was burnt to the ground when the Muslims invaded? You don't know about that. See, Alexandria, I think that's what I'll do. I'll give you a little piece of history about the burning of the library and of the books by the Muslims when they conquered Egypt, because that's a little lost period of history. Say, well, what are you giving us that for? That's incendiary. Well, should I now wipe history out? In England, they may have wiped it out. Maybe they'll wipe out the fact that Muslims, when they invaded Egypt, burnt the libraries to the ground because they believed in the single sufficiency of the single book called the Quran. Am I allowed to tell you that story, or is that history now banned by the folks who banned pork and ham and Subways in England? Because it's coming here. If it went there, it could come here. Yep, If they did it there, they can do it here. And it ties into why people are offended by certain Muslims planning to build a museum devoted to Islam for a mosque site near Ground Zero. Why would they have to build it near Ground Zero unless they're trying to celebrate with a victory mosque? Why not build it in Queens? Why not build it on Union Turnpike in Queens somewhere near St. John's University? Or put the Museum to Islam at NYU. NYU is a good place for the Museum to Islam. Why do they have to plan to build a mosque inside a museum for a mosque site near Ground Zero, the original mosque site? I mean, there were opponents to this. It's not that it's a sacred site, 9/11, but it certainly has deep meaning for the American people. You know, it would be the equivalent of, I tell you what, let me put it in context for those of you who don't understand anything. If you go to Honolulu, there's a monument to sunken battleships from when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. The Missouri is still underwater, and there's a museum that is dedicated to the memory of all of the American servicemen who died when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor and sank our ships in a sneak attack. That's where the museum is. Now, what if the Japanese, in an insensitive manner, let's say while the people were still seething with pain from it, that happened 1941, let's say they wanted to build a memorial to some Japanese in 10 years later, they wanted to build, in 1951, at Pearl Harbor, the Japanese wanted to build a shrine to fallen, some Japanese shrine. How would that feel? People would say, what, are you crazy? Why do you want to build it here? You're trying to insult us. You don't have to do that, but the Japanese are intelligent, sensitive people, so they wouldn't even suggest it. Well, what is this going on here? Why do we even tolerate this kind of behavior? What kind of country have we become? Why do we put up with everything everybody does to us? Why? Now, you know, whoa, who's us? Who are you to speak for us? I'm us. You're us. The Walrus is us. That's a Beatles song. I am the Walrus. 855-407-282. How do you feel about any of these topics?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
It is the Savage Nation. You heard an awful lot in the last couple of days about Donald Sterling, right? Owner of the L.A. Clippers. And the racist comments he made at home in private, recorded by a spurn lover, and then sent round the world by Hollywood gossip rag TMZ. I don't agree with anything Sterling said. But there should be some discussion in this age of every one of us with our connectiveness and whether you fear that tomorrow it could be you. Take it from someone who walks this tightrope every day. This is not an easy job that I have. Most people do not have the psychological strength to withstand the level of constant scrutiny that I live with. But I'm digressing. You see, the NBA has a race problem. Donald Sterling, an NBA owner, made some incendiary comments in private that are being used to destroy him. And wait until you see who moves in for the kill and will profit by buying this very successful team, which, by the way, he built. He bought it when it was a loser team from nowhere. He attended every game that was ever played, and he built it up personally as a businessman would do. And now someone's going to try to swoop in using the racial scam as an opportunity to buy the team on the cheap. He won't sell it, by the way. But meanwhile, a guy named Jay-Z was seen on the sideline wearing an enormous medallion from the Whites Are Devils group. Did you miss that one? From the New York Post, and I'll quote, "Black people are the fathers and mothers of civilization. White men are the devil. The Christian God is nothing more than a ghost, and only a small percentage of people understand the world. These are just some of the beliefs behind the bling, the gaudy 5% nation medallions worn by Jay-Z." Now, last week, all eyes at the Barclays Center weren't on Jay-Z's better half, Beyoncé, but they were on the coaster-sized golden pendant swinging from the rapper's neck as the couple sat courtside. Asked if the group's symbol, an eight-pointed star with the number 7 in the middle, held any meaning for him, the rapper shrugged, "A little bit." So what exactly do 5%ers believe? Quote, Michael Muhammad Knight, an author of two books on the radical group, says, quote, "The rationale is that the black man is God and created the universe and is physically stronger and intellectually stronger and more righteous naturally," close quote. It goes on, their belief system. Quote, "Whiteness is weak and wicked and inferior, basically just an errant child who needs to be corrected," close quote. Well, I didn't say anyone should ban Jay-Z from wearing that medallion. If he wants to wear a swastika, he could wear a swastika to the basketball court, right? You'd find that offensive, but you don't know what's on his little medallion, do you? Because you're too stupid to ask, right? Charles Barkley, who's another dunce, says, quote, "We could not have an NBA owner discriminating against a league that's, we're a black league," quote. Really? They're a black league? Well, Charles Barkley was always missing a few brain cells. I once had an interchange with him. He came away looking like the, let us say, sports figure that he is. He certainly didn't have the intellectual horsepower that he pretends to have. But the issue is about a thought crime being punished. That's what happened. This is the Clippers owner, Donald Sterling, who made horrible statements in private, on a phone, illegally recorded by some dirtbag. He made a statement about, don't bring African-American men to my Clippers games. Okay. Illegal? No. Offensive? Yes. In private? Yes. So he was suspended now. He's the owner now. Suspended for life and imposed a $2.5 million fine. So number one, he's going to sue. He didn't get where he is by being a weakling. He will sue and win. There are no grounds in the rule books, by the way, to suspend them so far as I can tell. I don't know the rules, but hey, listen, let me tell you something else. You know how these things work, don't you? Because tomorrow this is going to bite you in the behind. Tomorrow this is going to bite the black players when they start throwing around curse words about themselves to each other or about whites, and someone records them. Be careful with what you ask to happen to others because it will happen to you. Same thing with sanctions against Putin. I told you they'd boomerang. I told you that he had more power over us than Doofus has over him. Doofus is still on the world tour where he flopped again. Took a world tour, took a header. He'll come back again to a junior high school crowd and tell him about carrot juice. Meanwhile, he failed wherever he went. And put new sanctions against Russia. And so what did Putin warn through a factotum? That we might threaten your astronauts. We might not allow them a seat on our rockets to the International Space Station. They own the bus, man. They own the bus. Because Doofus eliminated NASA's shots up into space. Your Doofus killed NASA. So now we're passengers on Russian rockets to the space station. What do you think Russia's going to do? They're going to retaliate. Same thing with the basketball deal. The NBA has a double standard, by the way. Of course there's racial bias in the NBA. But it's not only where you think it exists. That's a big story, and it's certainly an important one. But it's certainly not the only story of its kind. In Europe, in England, a candidate was arrested and imprisoned over remarks about Islam simply from quoting a book by Winston Churchill about Islam. That's what's going on in the West right now. He quoted an excerpt about Islam from the book The River War by Winston Churchill. A woman, a Muslim, comes out of the speech and asks if the candidate for office had the authorization to even make this speech. She said it was disgusting and called the police. Six or seven British police officers arrive. They talk with the people in the audience. They talk with Mr. Weston, and they arrest him at 3 p.m., put him in a police van and take him away. Now, is that what you think Western civilization should be? You say, well, what does that have to do with this guy in the basketball league? Well, you have to be able to make a comparison to understand what I'm saying to you. We have thought control in America right now, not as bad as it has been in Britain for a while, because we are protected by the First Amendment whilst they are not. However, the First Amendment does not give a person infinite freedoms. As you well know, you cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. We understand that. Now, what Mr. Sterling said, how repugnant it may be, was not illegal, incidentally. What happened to him may or may not be illegal. The NBA dropped a hammer on him. Mr. Sterling, listen to this, can never again attend any NBA games or practices and can't visit any Clippers team facilities and cannot take part in meetings of the league's owners. I don't understand this. How can they ever ban him from going to an NBA game? Can anyone tell me that? I don't understand this. I don't understand this. And I think he's going to fight this, by the way, and he's liable to win. Something's crazy here. Something is wrong with the whole picture. Obviously, the world has turned on him. I mean, as you can expect, we get that. But I don't think this is going to be the end of this case, and I don't think it's going to be the last case where you were of this kind that we're ever going to see. It's going to turn around on everybody very shortly. he'll fight them, and he may win, he may not win. It's only a matter of a trial by jury, and God only knows where that can go. But what will happen next is the bigger question, and that's what I'm concerned about, and I think that's what you ought to be concerned about. I could see them telling him to sell the team. I could see the team going on strike and saying, we're not going to play for him. I don't know how they can tell a guy he has to sell the team. I don't know how they can do that. It's his ownership. I don't see how they can do that. The team could go on strike, but I doubt very much that they would do that. I guess the league has the right to impose a fine. But how can they tell him he can never go to a game again? I just don't understand that. Well, anyway, we're talking about that and other topics. There's a lot of news out there that we're avoiding because the politics are going to come hit us in the face very soon anyway. I mean, the war in the Ukraine is coming up. I expect it to have emerged over the last weekend. It didn't, thank God. But there's no question it's like watching a war in slow motion. And that's going to happen. Now you have Russia threatening the astronauts over the sanctions, as you'd expect. What do you think, Putin's going to play softball with Obama? You got these college girls imposing sanctions on Russia, rightly or wrongly, trying to stop their encroachment on surrounding territories. And Russia's going to take no prisoners. So they said, I'll tell you what, you play with us, okay. You are passengers on our rockets to the International Space Station. Keep it up, and why don't you see if you can get there one of your own rockets, since you don't have any anymore, since Obama destroyed the NASA program. Russia says the U.S. is resorting to Iron Curtain policies with its new sanctions, and Russian Deputy Minister Dmitry Rogozin said sanctions are always a boomerang which come back and painfully hit those who launch them. And by the way, the same exact phrase applies to Donald Sterling's fines and banishment. Watch. You wait and see. I didn't say it shouldn't have happened or something shouldn't happen, but watch and wait and see the boomerang effect on this as you celebrate with a high five right now. Let's see. Here is a new story. Alcohol and heroin lead to deaths of two former Navy SEALs. That's a new story? What is this? Oh, I don't believe that. That's not a true story. Those are the SEALs on that freighter that they said killed themselves. I don't believe that at all. I think they were killed. They were out there looking for the people who committed that that crime, and something happened, and I think they were executed. I don't believe it for a minute that they killed themselves. I just don't believe. Maybe I don't want to believe it. I don't know. That was an interesting story, but I didn't believe it at the time. It's in the news now. Big Texas utility files for bankruptcy. Energy Future, which lost billions of dollars as natural gas prices fell, will become one of the largest Chapter 11 filings in corporate history. You want to hear a little more news? After putting down the Republicans with his mocking speech the other day, Boehner, saying, oh, I can't do it. Remember that? Now Boehner is attacking Obama and saying any overhaul of the nation's immigration laws will depend on a new White House. I don't believe a word Boehner says. He's lost all credibility. He has for a long time. NBA bars Clippers owner for life. Adam Silver did it. I don't know who this goofball is. This guy, I don't know who Adam Silver is. I mean, I don't care what he did here, but wow. Where do they get these goofaronis here? Who is Adam Silver? Where did this goofaroni come from? Wow, where did they get this character? Who made him the head of the NBA? Why isn't a black guy the head of the NBA? Why is Adam Silver the head of the NBA? And who is Adam Silver? I don't get that part of it. I mean, if a league is primarily African-Americans, I think that the commissioner should be African-American on top of it, irrespective of what happened here. Instead, they got this goofaroni here. I don't know where he came from or why. Well, that's all politics. Front man, whatever. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It seems that race is now center stage in America. For some, that's a good thing because that's how they got where they are, and they sure want to go on a little further than they've already gotten. Like Oprah Winfrey, for example. Here's a woman richer than God herself who wants to move in like a vulture, in my opinion, and be an opportunist of the highest order and basically steal a team from the man who said some things that people find uncomfortable. Now, we're not going to talk about what he said because everyone says it's bad things to say. We all agree. We don't have to go there. How do you feel about Oprah Winfrey and the other wonderful individuals from the cesspool of Hollywood, such as David Geffen? How do you feel about them moving in like vultures to buy the team at a fire sale price from Sterling. That's if he sells. I mean, I could wake up tomorrow and read that Barack Obama has ordered whatever his name is, the Attorney General Holder, to force Mr. Sterling to give the team away to the black players for past injustices. In the name of American justice and fairness, I think that he could say that Sterling has to give the team away to the black players. That's all. I mean, that would be the Soviet way, the United Soviet States of America under the Obama Holder regime. I think that that would be something that you'd accept, probably. I mean, sooner or later, all of the fears that we have come true, by the way. Just as sooner or later, all of the cliches in life seem to come true. Sooner or later, all of our fears come true to one extent or another. Here's another little story for you, in case that's not a good enough one. Remember the Ground Zero Mosque story? Well, guess what? It's not over. The Muslim developer who once proposed a mosque and Muslim community center near Ground Zero now plans to build a museum devoted to Islam at the same site. He has commissioned French architect Jean Nouvel to design the Muslim museum. And the museum would also include a sanctuary for prayer services and community programs. Museum devoted to Islam now planned for mosque site near Ground Zero. How do you feel about a museum devoted to Islam being planned for a mosque site near Ground Zero? Ho-hum. I guess you have to check your portable device to see how you feel. Is that going to be the next wave of portable devices they tell you how to feel? Here's another little story for you from the Daily Mail. United Kingdom subways drop bacon and ham from menu to comply with halal. Not making it up. We've heard about Londonistan, right? There used to be a phrase, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, right? To the Muslims in England, it's not when in Rome, do as the Romans do, or when in London, do as the Londoners do. It's when in London, tell the Londoners to drop dead. Nearly 200 subway restaurants across the United Kingdom no longer serve bacon and ham, will instead serve only halal-prepared meat in an effort to, quote, balance the values of many religious communities, close quote. Now, the word balance is a critical one for you and for me because I was canned from England in 2009 by the despicable lowlife who ran England at the time, whose name I forgot. I don't know who he's working for now, probably representing Saudi Arabia. I don't know what he's doing. But the then Prime Minister of England banned me, and we found through, we had a sue to get it. He banned me to balance the rejection by Britain of Muslim terrorists, so they banned me. A Subway spokeswoman said that the menu option is part of an effort to meet consumer demand in each location. And says the growing popularity of the Subway chain with a diverse multicultural population across the UK and Ireland means we have to balance the values of many religious communities with the overall aim of improving the health and welfare standards of animals. What does that mean? So they're getting rid of pork, and that's to balance their values in England. Halal preparations include requiring that the animal be slaughtered by someone who invokes the name of Allah before slitting the animal's throat. That's very humane. I'm sure the animal feels better. Well, think about it. The animal feels better knowing that there's someone looking over his soul, the animal's soul. All blood must be drained from its veins, among other requirements, right out of the Jewish kosher rules, same thing. No different. I mean, let's be clear. So the whole thing came from halal, kosher, identical. And remember, the Jewish religion came first, so they copied it from the Jewish people. I mean, you can work, you get yourself all worked up over this. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, why are people so depressed in America? It was a question I was going to ask today. I had time off yesterday. I walked around San Francisco. There's so much depression. You can read the number of people on drugs. And I asked myself, why are so many people depressed in America today? And I don't even mean political people. Everyone seems to be agitated and gnawing inside. What's wrong? What's wrong? What happened? And one of the answers is that everyone fears the economy is built on sand, that it's going to blow up in our face. They all know that Obama's a faker. They all know he's a phony. They know he's printing money.
Savage.